Today's shiur is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. By Minei Ravina Merav Sheshes. Today's shiur is for a schus, for refuah shleima, for shalom ben bracha. The halacha is that a father supports his daughter, and masya deha, the earnings that this girl earns, go to her father. In the Tanaik Suba, as we are going to learn, is that the father leaves instructions that if he passes away, the daughter will be supported from her, the Yarshim, from her brothers, from the father's estate. And now the Gemara wants to know what will be the halacha regarding her earnings. Do they go to the brother or not? Brothers, the sister who's being supported from her brother, from her father, from her brothers, from her father's estate, because as the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis teaches us in the Ksub, it says Benun Nukvin the Havel Cheminoi, the husband writes to his wife, female daughters that you will have, Yavin Yasin Bebesi, will remain in my home, umitzin minichsi, and supported from my assets, ad the telukla guvrin, until they will be married. And the Mara now wants to know, Masiyadeh, what will be the status of her earnings? The halacha is, do the father, the halacha is the Ramban, forced the daughter to work, and he should keep the earnings. The question here is, explains the Ramban, can the brothers also have the same right? Do they say, can they say to the daughter, yes, we're supporting you, as we just read the Ksuba so states, but does that mean that we'll have to, that we can't tell you to have to go to work? And the Gemara explains the question. Do we say, B'mokam Avkami, that the brothers take the father's place? And Ma Hosam Masyadel Levav, just like the father gets her earnings, Hachanami Masyadel Achim, her brothers will get the earnings. Adem Maloidam Ilav, it's not the same. Hosam Midday Mitzani, the father is supporting her, and because the father is supporting her, that's why he is entitled to her earnings. They're not being supported by the brothers. She's being supported because the father left over such a tzava. And as the Shita Mekabetzes explains the Gemara's question, the Gemara is trying to analyze this, that the daughter gets supported from the brothers. Is it a copy of what happened by the father? Does this support mean that this, what she's being supported now, is actually a continuation of what happened as long as the father was alive? And just like as long as the father was alive, he got her earnings, so too will be by them? Or is the halacha, or is this a new condition that was set forth and it has nothing to do with what, it has nothing to do with what was the case by the father? That's the way the Shita explains the Gemara. The Pnei Yeshua explains that we're trying to understand what did the father mean. The Gemara's question is, we're trying to understand what did the father mean when he wrote the Ksuba. Did he mean when he wrote the Ksuba that, of course, I want my daughters to be supported, but I recognize that that support, but it's obvious that that support comes along where they should be entitled to the earnings, or that wasn't what the father wrote. Amalei, so he responded to Nesua. The Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta, Adav Tzadik Heyom Beis teaches us, Amona Nizonis Menichsi Yisraimim, the Amona of a person gets supported from his estate, or Mas Yedeh Shalahem, and the halacha is that the Mas Yedeh go to the brothers. So we see that it goes the same way here, that they get supported, that she gets supported, but they get the money. Says the Gemara, Midami, we can't compare the two situations. Amana, Amnasla Nichla Barvacha. when it comes to his almana, he's not necessarily concerned that she should be financially secure. And since he's not necessarily interested that she should be financially secure, he's going to say that whatever she earns should go to the brothers. Bita, but when it comes to one's daughter, Nichle Barvacha, he's interested that she should be in a great place. And therefore, the father is satisfied that the daughter should be supported from the brothers and not have to hand over her earnings. Ask the Gemara, remember the Bita Adifle Melmanosoi. So that means to say that the father's more interested in the daughter's welfare than his wife's welfare. But says the Gemara, Vama Reb Abba Amar Reb Yossi. The Gemara Masecht Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lama Tesom and Beis teaches us. If somebody passed away and he left over sons and daughters and he doesn't really have significant assets. And most Rishonim say that the definition of not having significant assets is they didn't leave over enough for the amount that the sons and daughters could live off for 12 months. The halacha, the Gemara there teaches us, is that the daughters should be supported from those assets. That too, says the Gemara, is part of the Tanai Ksuba. And even though sons are supposed to yarshin their father, here they don't get a Yerusha. And then, says the Gemara, and what happened if he left over sons, daughters at an almana? Says the Gemara, Os almana it's labas. They treat the almana vis-a-vis the daughter, kabas it's lachem benichsem ma'atim. Just like the daughter is treated vis-a-vis the brothers when there are minimal assets. Explains the Gemara, ma bas etzel achim. Just like as we explained, if there are daughters and sons and minimal assets, habas nazoinus, it's those assets are used to support the daughters. Va'achim yishal al psochim, and the brothers should try to collect stock or whatever to be supported. Says the Gemara, says af amona etzel abonus. So too, the halacha is when there's an amona and a daughter. That Amona Nazoinus, the Amona supported, Habas Tishalah Psochim. So we see from here, asked the Gemara, that the more concerned about the Amona than we are about the daughters. And we said before that maybe the daughters, that maybe even though the Amona has to turn over her earnings to the brothers, that doesn't necessarily mean that the father also wanted that his daughter should have to turn over her earnings to her brothers. There is a discussion in Tosfos, the Ramaskal Asu, if under all circumstances there is this halacha or maybe not. Because Tosfos goes into the discussion that under if we're going to follow this rule under all circumstances, then the halacha that the Torah says, that the Deraisa says, that there's a chiyuv of Yerusha, there we won't have any Yerusha. And therefore, Tosfos has a discussion that in a situation where Hilchos Yerusha will completely be wiped out, maybe we don't follow these rules. So again, before we said that the father is more concerned about the daughter, and here we see that they're more concerned about the wife, about the almana. Answers the Gemara. When it comes to being embarrassed, there he's more concerned about his wife. And I saw that the Achroinim explained, the husband is not really anxious that his wife should get remarried. And he knows that if the wife won't have any other way of supporting herself, besides going to collect stock up, it's likely that she's going to get remarried. And because of that, he says, make sure my wife is the first to be supported from whatever assets I left over. Belinyan Havocha. Here we're speaking about a case where there's Baruch Shem assets support to support the wife, the almana. There are assets to support the daughters. And the question is, who should be entitled to keep their wages that they should be more financially secure? For that, Bita Adifalei. So the Gemara asks from our Mishnah. Again, the question that we began our shiur with today was that the Bas HaNazonis Menachim, the daughter that's being supported by the brothers, who gets the Masi Deim. Who gets her earnings? Moser of Yosef. We learned in our Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis. Masi Deim Mitziyasa, the earnings and whatever the daughter finds, Abishloi Gofsa, even though she didn't actually collect them while she was alive, the loch is Mesa Af, if the father died, and as we're learning now, whatever the daughter earns, or whatever she finds, goes to her father. So even though she didn't physically actually collect these earnings, Haren Shel Achim, they go to the brothers. But says the Gemara the following Diyuk, Tam de B'chai Av, the only reason the brothers seem to be getting these earnings is because she earned them while the father was alive. So since she earned them while the father was alive, the father became entitled to them, and the sons are the Yarshim of the father. That's why they will get those earnings. Doesn't our Mishnah clearly seem to indicate that if she only earned those earnings after the father passed away, then the halacha will be l'atzma, that she keeps the earning, my laugh. And isn't the Mishnah referring to a case, ben nezaynus, that she's being supported from her brothers? And even though she's being supported from the brothers, that's still the earnings that she earned after her father passed away, she keeps, and she doesn't have to turn over to her brothers. Says the Marloi, that's not the way we're going to explain our Mishnah. Rather, we're going to explain our Mishnah, b'she'en in the Zionist, when she's not being supported by the brothers. And since she's not being supported by the brothers, that's why the halacha is that she keeps her earnings. But it could very well be, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. But in a case where her brothers are supporting her, says the Gemara, she will have to turn over her earnings to her brother. Says the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to be explaining our Mishnah, that a Mishnah that seems clearly to indicate that she need not turn over her earnings to her brother is b'she'en in the Zionist because she's not being supported by her brothers, so what's the Chiddush? Myla Memra, of course, if she's not being supported by her brothers, she need not turn over her earnings to them. Because says the Gemara, Philemon Damar, according to the opinion that we're going to learn, Sheyachal Rav Loimel Avid, that an owner could say to his Eved Kanani, Asay Imi, you have to work for me, Ve'eni Zancha, and I won't even support you, and you won't have what to live on. Hani Mili, says the Gemara, Be'eved Kanani, by an Eved Kanani. The like Sibbe, that the Torah, when it speaks about Eved Kanani, doesn't say the words, Ki toiv loy imach, that he's in your place. By an Eved Ivri, the Torah says that when an owner owns an Eved Ivri, the Torah requires Ki toiv loy imach, that you should make sure that he's treated well. There is no such expression by Eved Kanani. Avil Eved Ivri, the Ksibai Kitoiv Lai Imach, and the Gemara Masech the Chedushin, Daf Chabeis, explains Imach B'machel, you have to make sure he has what to eat, Imach B'mishtab, you have to make sure he has what to drink, and by an Eved Ivri, you cannot say, Asay Imi Ve'en Ezarcha. Roy Kolshkein, Beitai. So if the Torah is so concerned, says the Gemara, for the welfare of an Eved Ivri, it's certainly concerned about the welfare of a bas, of the daughter. So there we could very well understand that if the daughter is not being supported by the brothers, that's why she could keep her wages herself. But we haven't answered what is going to be the halacha if she's being supported by her brothers, do they have to turn over the wages or not? Amar Rabba Ula, says the Gemara, that we can explain that our Mishnah is speaking about a case where the girl is not being supported by the brothers. But as we just asked, if she's not being supported by her brothers, so of course they're not entitled to her wages. So our Mishnah is coming to teach us that even in a case that she is earning more than she needs to live on, the halacha our Mishnah is teaching us is that surplus the brothers are not entitled to, even though she has what to live on. And even though when the father gets the daughter's wages, not only is he entitled to what she earns vis-a-vis to make up for what he's paying her, supporting her, but he gets the hadafa, that right that the father has doesn't go over to the daughters. So the Meiri explains, when our Gemara now is speaking about the Hadafa that we say goes to the father, that's in a case where the girl is not being supported from her father. She's being supported by her own earnings. But still, says the Meiri, that whatever she earns above what she needs to live goes to the father. But many explain that that the father's right to this hadafa is only until he passes away. But once he passes away, then that halacha doesn't apply anymore. And at that point, the halacha is that she keeps the hadafa. And the Meiri explains that part of the discussion in our Gemara is really connected. How does the halacha look at the hadafa? On one hand, we could say, yes, if she's not being supported by her father, that's why she's entitled to the hadafa. But on the other hand, an argument can be made that since it's extra, the father should get the hadafa. She doesn't need it to live on. On the other hand, we can make an argument that even though she doesn't need it to live on, but she may this week have earned enough to live on, and therefore the father could say, give me the hadafa. But next week she won't earn enough to live on. So if she keeps the hadafa, she'll have the surplus from this week for next week. But if she's not keeping the hadafa, and next week she doesn't earn enough to live on, what will she live on? Amarava. Gavar Rava, Rabbi Yosef, such a great individual like Rabbi Yosef, lo yada de'ika dafa, he doesn't know that the halacha is that our Mishnah is referring to hadafa, the kamas of tiyufta, and he's asking questions from our Mishnah. El Amarava, what was bothering Rabbi Yosef masnisa gufakashli, the actual Mishnah was what was bothering him. The Ktani, in our Mishnah, we learned masi da mitziyasa, abishle gufsa, that anything she earned or found, even though she didn't actually collect them while the father was alive, and now the father passed away, they considered already money that the father has. And since it's already considered money that the father had, the sons, who are the Yarshim, take that money. Metziyasa, but the question is that we learned about the Metziya. What does it mean that the Metziya is already considered in the possession of the father? Ask the Gemara, Metziyasa and Man Gavya. What does it mean when we speak about the Metziya already being made the father? Says the Gemara, El Lav, must be the Hachikomer. What the Mishnah means to teach us is Masa Yidek Metziyasa. We treat the earnings like a Metziya. Ma Metziyasa B'chaya Av. Anything that she found during her lifetime goes Lav, goes to the father, and as the Rishonim point out, that the Chazal decided that anything that she finds should go to her father, since we're talking about a girl who is being supported by her father. If she will keep whatever she finds, the support that the father gives her will stop. The father's going to say, if you're keeping your Metziya, I won't support you. Lachem Yisasav, but anything she finds after her father passes away, la'atzma. Because, as we keep on saying, explains Rashi, that's only, as long as she's alive, we could say that the father gets everything and supports her. But after the father died, even though the brothers are supporting her, and even though since the brothers are supporting her, we're saying it makes sense that she should have to turn over the wages that she earns to her brothers, that's on her wages. But when it talks about when we speak about the Metziya, so again, Rashi explains, we just said that this was a special takanas chazal. This was a special rule the chazal instituted that the Metziyas should go to the father. And we can make an argument that special rule was only said to the father, not to the brothers. Elav hachikam. Will say the same thing regarding her earnings. Whatever she earns, as long as the father is alive, goes to the father. It will go la'atzma. So from here we see that the Mishnah is clearly teaching us that Masi Adel Ilatzma, that she gets the, she keeps her earnings. It Manami, says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amarav, Basan Nezonis Menachem, a daughter who's being supported by the brothers who are the Yarshim, the Loch is Mas Latzma, they keep it. So Tosfos asks, how could, just like we explained, that the father's entitled to the Metzia, because if we don't let the father get her Metzia, he won't want to support her. And that has a halachic term. The halachic term is Eva. It's going to cause Eva. So why aren't we concerned about Eva between the brothers and the sister as well? So the Tosfos quotes the Ri, who says that the concern here, the Eva that we're concerned with the father, is not as we understood, like Rashi explained, that the Eva is that the father's going to be upset that here I'm supporting you and you keep your Metzia. But rather, explains Tosfos, the Eva is that if the father gets upset and says, I'm supporting her and she's keeping her own Metzias, since as we learned, I will continue learning, that the father has a right to marry off the daughter to whomever he wants, the father's going to say, you didn't give me your Metzias, I'm going to marry you off to Menuvel or Mukashchin, to a person that you really don't want to be married to. But that's only in the case of the father. The brothers don't have the right to marry her off. Since the brothers don't have the right to marry her off, this concern doesn't exist with them. Amar Rav Kahana asked the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana my tama, indeed, why is the halacha that the earnings that the daughter makes doesn't go to the brothers, even though they're supporting her? Answers the Gemara the Ksiv. The Torah, when it speaks about Eved Kenani, says, V'snachaltem oysel levnechem achreichem. From here we learn, says Rava, that the avodim are something that the brothers inherit, but not your daughters. A daughter is not something that the brothers inherit. Magid she'en adam mayris chuspita levnoi. A father doesn't have the right. That doesn't happen. And if that's the case, then the daughters don't have to hand over their earnings to their brother. So, ask Tosfos, why do we have to have a pasuk to teach us? He says, the din that a daughter has to give her earnings to a father, we learn from the halacha that just like since the father could sell his daughter as an amavriya, that's why he's entitled to earnings. But the ama herself is also Amar Avriya, is not given over by Yerusha. So if the Amar Avriya is not given by Yerusha, certainly we could understand that the daughter's earnings are not given over by Yerusha. So Tosfos quotes the Rashba that says that the din of Mas Yadayim is only by a Nara. By that's where we connect the daughter to the Amar Avriya. And therefore, the question that we just asked, if the Amar Avriya is not passed on by Yerusha, certainly the girl's earnings are not passed on by Yerusha. But when we speak about a Ketana, the halacha is that since, as we've learned earlier, the father has a right to marry off his Ketana, certainly that gives him a right to her Mas Yadayim. So if that's the case, that so it has nothing to do with Amar Avriya. Since it has nothing to do with Amar Avriya, the fact that the father is entitled to her earning, the Gemara is saying that maybe the brothers who yashin the father should be entitled to those earnings as well. That's why you have a limud that isn't halacha. Maskula Rabba asks Rabba, "Vayim pita pass the kenos v'chavolz kavkos medaber." This that the pasuk is limiting the right of the brothers to their sister, to the is only regarding any knas that she earns. That's what she's being limited to. But not regarding her earnings. The Gemara says that the earnings are entitled go to the brothers. But as the Rishonim, but we just learned, what's he going to do with the limit of Vesnachaltem that we said that the Gemara just taught us, the Vesnachaltem comes to teach us that only in Vadim are inherited and not daughters. So Rashi says that the Gemara is saying that even though the Pasuk says Vesnachaltem, that teach us that the brothers don't inherit the sister, the Gemara is assuming that that isn't referring to what she earns. Because as the Gemara has really has been the premise of our entire shiur, that since the daughter is getting supported by her brothers, there's a strong argument to be made that the brothers should be entitled to her earnings. Says the Gemara, so we're learning now that the father gets any knas that the daughter earns. But ask the Gemara, why? Chavala, tsara de gufnu. The chavala is something that affects her. So since the chavala, when she's hurt, why should the father be entitled to it? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, shepatzu b'fanel. The chavala that we're speaking about here is that she got a wound in her face. And since she got a wound in her face, that's why she's not so attractive anymore. And she can't be sold anymore. And she can't be married off as so easily anymore. And that's why the chavala goes to the father. So Taisus asks, why would we think that the father doesn't get the chavala? We've been learning throughout our entire shiur, says Taisus, that the earnings she makes go to the father. And if she was wounded in a way that her earning capacity was diminished, so of course she go to the father. So Taisus answers, when the Gemara asked the question just now that the father should not get the chavala, that the girl herself should get the chavala, of course, says Taisus, the Gemara never assumed that if the chavala affected her earning potential, that it shouldn't go to the father. We're talking about chavala that doesn't affect her earning potential, for which the Gemara says that even though it didn't affect her earning potential, still, since she won't be so valuable if she's sold, she won't be so valuable if they marry her off, that's why the chavala goes to the father. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Masta, Amar Rav. V'amalei Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Masta, Amar Rav. Bas hanazoynes min achim, masi del atzma. The daughter who's being supported by her brothers keeps her own earnings. The ksiv, because the pasuk says, "V'snachaltem oislem levnechem achrechem," and we learn from here, "Oislem nechem." The avodim are given over birusha v'loy b'nei sechel levnechem magichin odem meiris chospita lebranov. His sons don't get that right. The Gemara gave two versions here. How to call Rav Zeira? Was he called Rav Zeira or was he called Reb Zeira? So Rashi explains that it was really the one and the same individual. But Rashi explains that he originally was from Bavel, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rabbi Yochanan. When he was in Bavel, he was called Rav Zeira. Because as we mentioned in other shiurim, there was no smicha in Bavel. And since there was no smicha in Bavel, nobody got the title of Rebbe in Bavel. But when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he got smicha, and he got the title of Rebbe. The others say that that's not the way to understand. Taisus Masechet Menachos actually explains that there were two different people. There was one individual who was called Rav Zeira, and there was another individual who was called Rebbe Zeira. Amalei Reb Ami Bapapi, Shokut Amru. That this halacha was actually taught by Shokut. Ask the Gemara Shokut Manu. Who was Shokut? Says the Gemara, Shmuel. The reason he was called Shokut, because Shokut means careful. And Shokut means effort. Shkida means effort. And Rashi explains that he put in a lot of effort to make sure that whatever he said was clear and correct. Darach explains that Shokut means that he was a maspid. That he was learning all the time to make sure, to spending a lot of time learning. The Shuvas Chavis Yor explains that Shokut is like the word Mushukadim. We find that when the Torah speaks about the construction of the menorah, the Torah uses the word Mushukadim, which means engraved. That means when you engrave something, you make sure that it's done perfectly, that it should be done correctly. Shmuel was careful that everything that he said should be perfect and should be correct. Says the Gemara, how can we say that this was a halacha that was stated by Shmuel for Rav Amra? We're learning that Rav taught us this halacha. Answers the Gemara. Emo, rather the way to understand the Gemara is Af Shakur Amro. It wasn't just said by Rav, it was said by Shmuel as well. Amar by Meimel Ravashi, Hacha Amri Nadoi, and Nadoi taught us, Hilchaska Vasei the Rav Sheshes, that the halacha is that the brothers get the support, get the wages. Ravashi Amar Hilchaska Vasei the Rav, that the brothers who are supporting their sister do not get their earnings. Vilchus kavasei the Rav, and that is indeed, says the Gemara d'Alocha, that even though the Tanaik Suba that we began our shiur with says that they have to support her, even though that's what the Tanaik Suba says, it doesn't change the halacha that they're entitled to, that they don't get their earnings. But a very important part of our Gemara, the premise of our Gemara, is does the are the brothers who yashin the father considered an extension of the father? So I saw that the Shalos Teshuvos Chushukei Chemed discusses where a father used to support a certain tzedaka, and now the father passed away. Do the brothers who are inheriting his money, do they have to give? Should they be continued to support that tzedaka, or could they support a different tzedaka which they feel is more valuable? So he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Meis Kohen Gadol b'Shachris." If the Kohen Gadol died in the morning, and we know that every day the Kohen Gadol brought the chavite Kohen Gadol, machtzisa b'boiker, half was brought in the morning, or machtzisa ben abayim, and the other half were brought in the afternoon. And the Kohen Gadol died in the morning, after he brought the first half of his chavite kohen gadol, they have not yet appointed another kohen gadol. So the halacha, says the Rambam, is that the yorshim have to bring a holy soren, and they make chavitim, and that's what's brought in the afternoon. So explains the Chazon Ish that why do they have to bring chavitim? They're not the kohen gadol, and so why should they have to bring the chavitim until there's a new kohen gadol brought? So the Chazon Ish explained that since the father, the Kohen Gadol, brought those chavitim, the covenant is that they should continue what the father was doing. And therefore, since he suggests that the father was supporting a certain institution, the proper thing is that they should continue supporting that institution. Our Mishnah continues to discuss if a father has a right, as we know, to mekadosh a daughter, and this daughter became an almana and a grusha, does the father collect the ksuba, or does the daughter collect the ksuba? So says the Mishnah, Ma'aris is beat up. Somebody, as we often state, we know a Jewish marriage has two stages. There's first the erusin, and then the nesuin. So says the Mishnah, Ma'aris is beat up. If somebody was Ma'aris' daughter, and the Girsha, and then her husband divorced her, and afterwards, Irsa, she was again a Mereses. But this Armelin, she became an Almana, Ksubasa Shaloi. In both cases, the Ksuba goes to the father, not to the daughter. Because as long as the daughter is in his Rishus, everything that she earns goes to the father. And our Mishnah says that this girl, since she's only in Arusa, that's why the father is entitled to her ksuba. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that the Mishnah didn't say bita naru ktana, because clearly these halachas would only be applicable if she's a naru ktana. Because the Pnei Yeshua says we're going back to the beginning of the Masech, the beginning of the Perek. And the beginning of the Perek spoke about narush and spatata. Since the Mishnah speaks about Narish and the Spatata, it's very clear, the beginning of the Perek, that everybody we're talking about is a Nara. Furthermore, Rashi explains that from here we clearly see that even though this girl was only in Arusa, she's still entitled to Ksuba. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that even though this girl did not have the Suin, she's still entitled to the ksuba, and the Mishnah is teaching us ksubasa shalah, the ksuba goes to the father. The Meiri has a different pshat. The Meiri says that Our Mishnah is not referring, is not teaching us that that is the required halacha. That if a girl was mureses, so she becomes an almana or a grusha, the ksuba go that she's entitled to ksuba. We're referring to a situation where the husband voluntarily agreed to give her a ksuba. And now the question is, the husband voluntarily agreed to give a ksuba, and the question is, does it go to the father or to the daughter? And our Mishnah is saying that it goes to the father. Moreover, the Achroidim debate, what happens if the daughter receives a gift? Who will go to her or to her father? The Nesiva says that it goes to the daughter. And I saw that Rav Shimon Rizovsky explains that you can't compare a gift to the ksuba. A ksuba, the husband realizes, is not something that he's giving a gift that he wants to do something for his wife. And therefore, the halacha is attached to the ksuba. And since the halacha is attached to the ksuba will go to the father. But the gift is something that the husband wants to go to the daughter. And again, it's not something that he has to give. And since it's not something that he has to give, it goes to the wife. So the Rishonim debate, why indeed does it go to the father? One pshat that the Meiri suggests, very connected to our previous sugya, is because since everything the girl earns goes to her father, this is no different than anything that the girl earned. The Tosfos Rit explains that this is an extension of the halacha that we often quote, that the father has the right to marry off the daughter to whomever he wants. So included in the rule that the father has a right to marry off the daughter to whomever he wants is included that the ksuba that she gets from the erusin should go to her. Another pshat that the Pnei Yeshua suggests is that the whole halacha of ksubis, of ksuba, is learned from the words that the Torah uses by Mefuta of Kamayar Hapsulis. And says the Pnei Yeshua that Kamayar Hapsulis refers to the Knasa of a Mefuta. And when we've spoken about in our Shurim the Knasa of a Mefuta, we know it goes to the father. So it makes sense, says the Pnei Yeshua, that the Ksuba, which is also the Mayar Apsulis, if she's still only in Arusa, goes to the father. However, continues the Mishnah, Hisia, if this girl had Nesuin, and then Vigirsha, her husband divorced her, Hisia v'Nesarma, or this girl had Nesuin and she became an Amana, then, says the Mishnah Ksuba Shashallah, she keeps the Ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harishayna, the Ksuba from the first husband that divorced her, Shalav, will be go to the father. Amrloi, so Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yehuda, Mishasia, once she became a Nesua, it doesn't make a difference if it's the first Ksuba or any other Ksuba, Ein Lavi or Shuspa, her father loses control over her, and since the father loses control over her, the Ksuba goes to the daughter. It says the Gemara Tam in the Siv Girsha, so the Mishnah said, His Siv Girsha, His Siv in His Armala. Tam the Siv Girsha, His Siv in His Armala. The Mishnah spoke about first there was a she became a grusha and then she became an almana. Avol says the Gemara in this Amla Trei Zimni. The Mishnah doesn't speak about a woman who became an almana twice, because says the Gemara, because if she became an almana twice, su loy chazil and suve, she could never get married again because she's a katlonis. What is the Mishnah teaching us? Because tells us the Gemara Agav Urcha Kamashma and Sosla Tana, the Tana is teaching us that Rebbe, that we're following the opinion of Rebbe. Domar, Rebbe's opinion is betray Zimne have a chazaka. We know that if something happens on more than once, it develops a pattern. And throughout Shas, how many times there's a machloikis, how many times is it considered that it happened often that it should be considered a pattern? Rav Shimon Gamliel says 3 times, and Rebbe holds 2 times, as we learned in Masechta Yevamos Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. And as the Achronim explain, the Rebbe Chanan explains this Gemara. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if it didn't happen 3 times, according to Rebbe, if it didn't happen 2 times, we say it was just a coincidence. And a coincidence doesn't establish a halacha. But if it happened a number of times, we can't call it any more coincidence. So our Gemara says that the reason the Mishnah spoke about once she was divorced or once she was an almana, because the Mishnah is teaching us a woman that becomes an almana twice may not get married anymore. She's considered a katlanus, somebody who causes her husband to die. But it's very interesting. The Gemara is not pointing out why would be the halacha if a woman was divorced twice, may she get remarried. And really, it's machlokes harishonim. Because when we learned Masechta Yevamos, the Gemara gave two different reasons why a katlanus may not get remarried. One reason was mazla goyrim, she's bad luck. The other reason was the mayan goyrim. By having relations with this woman, she causes you to die. So if the reason is mazla goyrim, so that could be said even by a grusha. But if we're going to say mayan goyrim, it isn't necessarily going to be connected. It isn't necessarily going to be connected to the mayan. The divorce has nothing to do with the amount of times they have relations, and the halacha is therefore the halacha would be very different, and a grusha would be allowed to get married even if she got married, even if she got divorced more than two times. The Rosh says that if somebody violated this halacha and married a katlonis, Bezdin compels them to divorce because chamir is a kanta misura. We just explained marrying a katlonis is dangerous, and that's why we forced them to get divorced. The Rambam disagrees, and it says that if somebody married a katlonis, he's not obligated to divorce her. Because the Kesem Mishnah says that the issa to marry a katlonis is only a issa drabonin, and it's not a tangible danger, and therefore we could be more lenient. And for the same reason, the Rambam paskins that if a woman falls to Yibam, and this woman that fell to Yibam is a woman who's a katlonis, says the Rambam, she's still a candidate for Yibam. Because the mitzvah of Yibam, is stronger than the concern of katlonis. As we just said, the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos taught us that there's two possible reasons why we should be machmer with a katlonis. One was mayin goyrim, one was mazel goyrim. The Rambam says that the reason the katlonis is because of mazel goyrim. And therefore, says the Chikrei Leif, if a girl, a nara psula, was mureses twice, and twice an almana, the halach is, not a question is, so the ma'anis, as we've been learning throughout our Masechta, there's a halacha of Veloy Sialisha, that he has to marry her. So the Chikrei Leiv questions, but does the mitzvah of Veloy Sialisha apply to this woman since she's a katlonis? So says the Chikrei Leiv, that just like the Rambam taught us that a girl who's a katlonis, if she did get married, she's allowed to remain married. If she's a candidate for Yibum, we should do Yibum. So too, says the Chikrei Leiv, the Rambam will say that the mitzvah of Eloi Sielisha supersedes the concern for katlonis. But then the Chikrei Leiv says a chiddush, that even according to the Rosh that says that he's much more concerned about katlonis, he says a ma'anis is still compelled to marry the girl that he was ma'anis. Because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, on that flamites, the Gemara says when a ma'anis has to marry the girl he was ma'anis, the Gemara says shoysa be'atzitza. He has to suffer marrying the woman that he has to marry. Here too, we learn shoysa be'atzitza. Rabbi Yoshev says that we have a raya that a girl becomes a katlonis from the story with Yehuda. Because we know that Tamar was married to two sons of Yehuda, Er v'Oinon, and they both passed away. And then Yehuda was reluctant to allow her to marry his third son, Shelah, because the Pasuk says, Ki Omer penyom eskam hu ka'achav. He was concerned that he will also pass away. So we see that he was concerned after two times. But then the Pasuk says that after Yehuda married her, that he continued to remain with her. The question is, how did Yehuda remain with her? She was a katlonis. And that was the reason that he didn't want to let Shayla marry her. And now Yehuda, not only did he marry her, but he remained with her. So Rabbi Yosef explained, until Yehuda married her, he didn't know what was the history here. And he thought, therefore, that this woman, Tamar, is a katlonis. And our Gemara just paskin that a woman becomes a katlonis, even being married twice. But then after he married Tamar, and he discovered that the reason everything that happened was because Erva Oinen were Rishon, so it's not Tamar's fault. Since it's not Tamar's fault, she is not considered a katlonis, and they can remain married. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yudaima Harishoina, that a woman who had Nesuin, the first Nesuin, the Ksuba goes to the father. Ask the Gemara, but my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. We've been discussing that as soon as a woman has Nesuin, she's out of the Rishus of the father. So since she's out of the Rishus of the father, why does the father get the Ksuba? Says the Gemara of Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tavayu, Hoya Mishas Arisin Zochban Av. Since from the time of Arisin, the father was the one that was entitled to the Ksuba, he remains entitled to that Ksuba. Ask the Gemara Masa Rava, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rishoyna Shal Av, Rabbi Yehuda Amaris is Bita Kshiktana. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that somebody did Erison with his daughter when she was a Ktana, or Bagrin, now she becomes a Begeris, Vakach Nisus, and then she becomes a Nesua, Shein Lavi Rishuspa. The father doesn't get the Ksuba, the daughter gets the Ksuba. But ask the Gemara if Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are correct, that the father got the Ksuba from the Shas Erison, Amai. Why over here, in the case that we just described, does the Ksuba go to the daughter? Why don't we say here as well, Hachin Nami Lema, Hoyel Mishas Erison, since at the time of Erison she wasn't a Begeris, since at the time of Erison she wasn't a Begeris, the Ksuba should go to the father. Eli Itma Hachi Itma. Rava, Rav Yosef Dami Tavayu, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda that the father takes the Ksuba from the first Nesuin? The Shtar Ksuba was written before the Nesuin, and at that time is when the Chiv Ksuba kicks in. And since the Chiv Ksuba kicked in at the time when the father was in control, so that means that that money is considered the father's money. And since that money is considered the father's money, when the Ksuba is ultimately collected, it goes to the father. But ask the Gemara. Migva me'ei miskavya. The actual ksuba is when is it collected? The halacha is that only after she's married. So since the ksuba is only collected at that point, the halacha is, we know that when a husband gets married, the assets, all of his assets become mortgaged to his ksuba. And the Gemara's question here is, at what point do those assets become mortgaged? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Mana Masayim, the basic ksuba becomes mortgaged from the time of the Erisin. Any Taisus ksuba is from the Nesuin. For Ravasi Amar, Mi Achav Zeh Vechav Zeh, Min Nesuin. Ask the Gemara, Mi Amar Rav Huna Hachi, that the basic obligation of the ksuba becomes mortgaged from the time of the Erisin. Vitmar, we learned that a woman that was divorced, Vaitzilei Shtei Ksubas, and the woman presents two ksubas. Achshal Masayim, one ksuba says that there is a $200 ksuba, a 200 zuz ksuba, v'achshal Shmeis. And one is a $300 zuz ksuba. And they don't have the same date. Vam Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, in Basel Ligvas Masayim, if she wants to collect just 200, Gavim Man Rishon. Shal Shmeis, if she wants to collect the larger amount, Goivim is mancheni, she collect from the second date. Vim Isa, but if what Rav Huna is saying is that the basic suba is from the time of the Erisin, and the extra is from the time of the Suin, why in this case don't we say that the extra 100 that was written was for Taisvis Ksuba, and therefore we should say that Tikva Masayim is man Rishin, or Mayan, the extra 100 should be, which are Taisvis, should be Mizman Sheni. Says the Gemara, Ula Tameich, the Gemara asks on his question, if we're saying that these are two separate documents, why don't we say the Tikva Chamish Meis, she should be entitled to a a total of 500 zuz. And say Masayim are from the Zman Rishon, and Talasme is a nuk suba, which is an entirely Taisus suba, Shabim is Man Sheni. Says the Gemara, El Chamesh Meis Mai Tam Legavya. Why was that never consideration? Kivin Delay Kosovlo. Since the Ksuba doesn't say, Tzavisi Vaisifla Klas Mea Messiah, since the wording of the second Ksuba does not say that I'm giving you 300 a top of what I already had to give you, the 200, Ach Kamala. What he was saying to her was, Im Zman Rishon Gevias. If you want to collect from the first time, you'll only be entitled to Messiah. If you want to use the second ksuba, so you're limited with from which assets you could collect, but you gather your tlasmeya. So we see, says the Gemara, that we don't have this distinction between the base ksuba and the tosus ksuba. Says the Gemara, hachanami hanitam delay gavya. Mid delay kosev, lesifalach meya masayim. If the extra 100 was meant to be Taisus Ksuba, it should have been indicated as Taisus Ksuba. It must be, since it wasn't written that way, it must be that Chula Chelta L'Shibu Dekama. What he meant to do was, he gave her a choice. You could either go with the first date or with the second date. If you go with the first date, you'll be entitled to a lesser amount, but from the first date. And if you go with the second date, which protects my Lekuchas, then you'll be, that brought property from me between the first date and the second date, then you'll be entitled for that to logic suba.